Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, every night something paced the length of the apartment hallway for hours, stopping at the same spot, yet no one understood why. Until many, there's my piece, years later.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, welcome to the program. And yes, we'd love to hear your real ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. And you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear from you. Check out our Patreon page. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online and get access to all of our stuff ad-free. You can binge away on it and get it in advance as well. So do check that out on Patreon. Apple Podcasts, also a premium option there for you as well. You can try it for 3 days. Free. It's Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. What's going on?
Had a question for you guys, because in the last episode that we recorded, the woman talked a lot about walking through cemeteries and looking at the headstones and all that kind of stuff. Did you guys ever do that and then, you know, look at the dates and try and imagine what their lives were like, or maybe what they passed away from? Or is that not something you do when you're in a cemetery?
Oh, I do. I kind of like to look at, and there's a cemetery in Nebraska where it's my mom's side of the family. They've got this big corner of the cemetery. So to me, it's really fascinating because, like, my family has the oldest headstone there. And so she was the first person buried in that cemetery. Mm-hmm. And so then every time I go there, I think I look around and it's like, man, she was the first one here. And look at all these other stories, because each headstone has its own story. And there's one of them that has a recipe on the back of it.
I like that.
For kind of interesting. I think it's like cookies or something like that. It was like her favorite recipe. Rather than keep it, she decided when she died, she would share it with everybody.
Human goulash and one body, right? And then... You throw in the cat. What goes into goulash? Isn't there like red cabbage and stuff like that in that?
Noodles, I think. Isn't there usually noodles in a goulash?
I do. I make my own variation of it.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
I do a little elbow macaroni.
Yeah. We used to, when I think of goulash, we used to have something in our school, and I don't know if this is regional or just local or something. John Marzetti. Do you remember John Marzetti,
yes.
Todd?
Yep.
Okay. And it's basically, it's kind of like the leftovers of the week mixed into this kind of pasta-y, you know, spaghetti-ish type dish with big noodles. And that was John Marzetti. It was the leftovers. People loved it, though. It's funny, like as like
name
adults.
John Marzetti?
Adults like around the area, like would have, like they got the recipe that they'd make it at home years later. Cause it reminded them of school, but it was just kind of like this. I don't know what the origin of it is. Do you know what the origin on that is?
No, I don't. I would say this, it's pretty damn good when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's not, but not bad to hear that on the menu. That and pizza for me were like two big days.
Yeah. It was, and that's what I think of as goulash, is like John Marzetti. When I hear,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know. The pizza was, and it was the pizza for you, not like pizza, where it's it was not a pizza, but that's what they called it. And whatever the hell it was, you could only get it in an elementary school classroom.
That's right.
And to this day, maybe that in prisons, I don't know. Like, because I know like a lot of food services for for Elementary are also the same folks that do the prison food too.
Probably, yes.
So I knew it was that way in Kansas, like right down the road from the radio station is where they had the place that made it. And I learned like, oh, it goes to the schools and to the prisons. So I'm wondering if there's any like benefits to prison. You're like, it's pizza day. And you're like, yes, this is elementary school prison, like pizza. This totally makes murdering those seven people worth it.
Like in elementary school and in high school, I made friends with the lunch lady. So I knew who they were. Actually, in elementary school, it was a friend of my parents. So if I needed a little something extra or whatever, I was always able to get it.
Nice.
That was a brilliant idea to befriend the lunch lady.
Hell yeah.
Rather than be a jerk.
I think I dated the lunch lady in high school. I think I dated her daughter too for a while.
You dated her.
No, I did not. But I think that's one of the reasons why she liked me so much. So like, you know, if they were cooking and stuff, I'd go back during the day on like a study hall or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, taste tested what was coming out at lunchtime. So I just got a little extra.
I bet they loved that.
I was the kid that everybody loved back. Yeah. Not the kids. Nobody would talk to me, but the adults loved me
because
I was so quiet. Yes,
exactly. My mom was a lunch lady.
Oh.
But never at my school. Thank God. Because I mean, because that we would get teased for that, you know, and you seem to have a much healthier relationship with the lunch ladies. I mean, and I was always respectful and was very nice to them. But you know, it was kind of an embarrassing thing, like, cause you get to your mom's a lunch lady and sort of shit. But
My mom would walk she was the recess, coordinator at the first school I went to. And so it was like a mile and a half down the road from my house. So she'd come at noontime and she would watch all the kids. And every once in a while, she'd have to reprimand somebody. And then, of course, who got in trouble for that after she went back home? Me. Your mom did this. Your mom did that. It's like, oh, mom, can you let up on the roughhousing on the recess area? Because.
Yeah, that could be a little. Yeah, a little much. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear a real ghost story. Hi.
This is Chris. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin. My grandma and grandpa moved into a new apartment. They moved out of their house. Never had been in the apartment before. Walked in. As soon as I walked in, I was very familiar and very at home in the apartment. I knew the layout of the apartment. I knew where what the kitchen was going to look like. I knew where the bathroom was. I'd been there before. I knew this apartment. And I didn't put it together then. But, you know, thinking back on it all these years, as soon as I crossed the threshold of this apartment, I was seeing this apartment through someone else's eyes. A little time went by. I'd spend the night there a lot, sleep on the couch. There was a long hallway that ran from the front of the apartment pretty much through the whole apartment all the way back into the kitchen. So one night I'm sleeping and I hear somebody obviously walking through the apartment. This place had really creaky floors. It was an old Chicago apartment building, and very clearly heard someone walking up to the couch where I was and stop right at where my head was at the end of the couch where the hallway ended. And I sat up thinking it was my grandma or my aunt or somebody. And to my surprise, I sat up and I didn't see anybody. But there was definitely somebody there. I knew there was someone there. And I got the creepiest feeling of being watched and like really watched, where you feel like someone is just staring into your soul. I am very sensitive to this kind of thing and to ghosts or whatever. But I knew somebody was there. And I just remember I laid back down really quick and I pulled the pillow over my head. And I was just terrified. And I didn't hear anyone walk away and I didn't hear anybody move. And I finally fell back asleep. Didn't say anything to anyone the next day. My grandma really was very much a sensitive, but very much didn't want to talk about it, didn't want it discussed in her house. But, you know, this went on all the time. Like I said, I slept there a lot, and you would routinely almost every night hear someone pacing from all the way through the hall apartment, through this hallway. And they'd get to the end, and they would turn around, and they would walk straight back through to the kitchen. This went on probably a good 4 or 5 hours a night, and it was always not thinking of it back then, but knowing now, definitely dead time. It was middle of the night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It kept happening. Didn't really say anything to anyone. And one night something woke me up and I didn't know what it was. It wasn't necessarily a sound or the walking, but something woke me up and I looked right over to an old rocking chair my grandma had in the corner. And there was enough light coming in from the streetlights to illuminate enough to see that the rocking chair was actually rocking. I could see the shadow of the bottom of the rocking chair against the wooden floor. The thing that really scared me was the fact that it didn't really stop rocking. I probably laid there and I was completely terrified. I had the, again, that feeling of just intense staring, just watching, just definitely looking at me. And I was just afraid to move. I remember being that afraid to not even want to move. And I laid there just terrified and finally fell back asleep. But I would say I probably.
Did she die?
I think we lost Carol. There she is.
Not long after that, who was a World War II veteran, slept in the middle room in the house, and it was the hallway went right through this room. And he woke up one day and was really upset and, you know, started kind of yelling out and asking everybody, what the hell is up with this person or whoever this is pacing this apartment all night long? Like, I can't get any sleep. It's driving me crazy. Like, who is pacing? And my grandma got upset with him when she realized he was saying that it was, you know, not any of us, but it was like some unexplained pacing. She got upset with him and told him to stop talking about it. But he, as soon as he talked about it and he showed anger towards it, it really revved up, but it revved up just around him and in the room that he would sleep in. So you would still hear the pacing, but it would seem like the pacing would only go from the kitchen into the room that he was in. And one night he was sleeping, and for one reason or the other, he had a small blade, like a hacksaw blade that he had done some kind of repair in the house with days before. And it was sitting up in the corner on a box that was there, a couple boxes that were piled in the corner. He woke up having pain in his head and didn't know, you know, what was happening. And he got up and he realized that the blade, the saw blade, was laying next to his pillow and his head was bleeding. And he was bleeding, you know, not crazy bleeding, but bleeding enough, and had a big scratch, a big cut on his head. Again, my grandma got upset with him, told him to stop it. It's just that you had it sitting up there and it's your own fault. Don't talk about it. And my grandpa continued to talk about it. And then he said that it started slapping his feet in the middle of the night, hitting his feet and slapping his feet and not letting him sleep. And around this time, I was probably about 12. And I was a kid who loved to take really long showers and baths. And I couldn't do that at home, but I could do that at my grandma's house. I remember sitting in the bathtub, letting the bathtub fill up, but letting it fill up with the shower running, like, down on me. And something caught my attention, and I looked up to see, just for a split second, my grandpa's disposable razor that he would leave sitting on the medicine cabinet. There was a light on either side of the medicine cabinet, and he would set it up on the left side. I looked up just in a split second to see this thing either hovering or just coming over the shower curtain. Before I could even react, I remember just kind of gasping because seeing it and feeling something really quickly. And before I could really even react to it, that disposable razor came flying down on my leg and hit my leg, and it cut my leg. And it also left just this big bruise. It was like a kind of like a hematoma under my skin on my leg. And of course, when this happened, I was freaked out. I was terrified. I, you know, grabbed a towel. I think I even left the shower running, ran out, went and told my grandma what happened. And she's, you know, cut it out. It just fell. And then when I was trying to explain to her, no, it came over the shower curtain. It was in the air. She said, well, where is it? You know, where did it hit you? Let me see it. And she was quite surprised when she saw my leg, because it had started already to bruise and it had just happened. Because later on, what we did find out was that there was a young man that lived in that apartment with his father, and he was a young adult at the time, and he had a drug and alcohol problem, and he ended up actually hanging himself from the kitchen light. So I kind of feel like it was him. It was definitely him. I think he was angry. He was still there. He was still in this apartment. And I later saw what I believed to have been him outside. I hope you enjoy it. I love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story. Thoughts on that?
She lived in that was haunted grandma and grandpa's house.
Hey, no kidding.
And that would freak me out to like, you're just taking a shower and a razor, disposable razor comes up over and hit her leg so hard that it bruised her, which seems impossible for a disposable razor, but that would hit you really hard.
That would be one. It'd be like, yeah, it'd be like gun propelled razor.
Yeah. Like, I don't even get it.
It's funny because, grandparents, even if it wasn't a ghost, they don't talk about anything. Like, yeah. I remember being little and my grandfather was in World War I, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I would always want to ask him stories about it, but he would just never talk about that, you know? And, but, so it's not weird that her grandparents did not want to talk about this ghost. Her grandfather did, obviously, it sounds like, but not grandma. And the other thing that it struck me as weird, and I'm trying to think about, you know, do people still, when they attempt to take their lives, do they still do the hanging method as much as they used to? Because it seems like every ghost story starts with this guy hung himself in the attic, or this guy hung himself in the basement, or she hung herself in the kitchen, or whatever it is. Do we hear that as much anymore?
Like, statistically, are people hanging themselves? I get what you're saying.
It's like everybody who offed themselves back in the day did it by hanging.
Let me go to the internets and let me get you some numbers on that.
Maybe people don't know how to do the knot anymore, something like that. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of weird because every time you hear a story about a death from the past.
I'm just putting you some on hold music while I do.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
We're happy you're here. This call could be recorded for whatever the hell they say.
For quality assurance purposes.
That's what I wanted to. Yes.
For quality training purposes.
That's
for
right.
us to laugh at you uncontrollably as we control your fate for the next 5 minutes. Thanks for calling.
Your call is important to us.
Is it? Because you can't even get through to a person. I had to call about service for my mom the other day, and it was like, leave a message and we will call you back in about 90 minutes. My good God.
We can get anybody on our smartphones now. You can get a hold of somebody like that. But to actually make a call to a business now, you can't get a hold of anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it's doing its research as we speak. And also as we speak, there's a nationwide phone outage. Does anyone realize?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Verizon, and I do not have Verizon.
Verizon is out. All of the providers are having issues. There seems to be, as of our recording, as of right now, a massive concerted internet issue going on everything. So I'm surprised we're still up as we're recording this.
Wow, but, I did not know. My phone seems fine.
Mine is. Yeah. I'm AT&T. It seems fine.
The messaging and stuff supposedly is not going through. I texted my fiance here earlier and I haven't heard anything back, and she's usually pretty quick at getting back. So
it's either the phone outage or trouble with the brewskis already.
That's exactly what it is. No, I texted her more out of curiosity if she was getting a message. Yeah, it's interesting. So, and it's scary. Like, what the hell? I mean, the amount that we rely on these sort of things for our communication and how quickly they can disappear.
Mm-hmm. And oh my God.
And no one is prepared to deal with a world without it. I mean, there's the percentage of us that know the world without it is not the majority. I think that, I don't know. It would be interesting if suddenly everything went away and we had to go back to our older way of doing things. I think a lot of people think, oh, that's like the 1800s. No, it's like 90.
Right.
Like it's manageable. We did it. It works. Like, it was not that horrible. We're not riding horses around and shit, you know, but.
Well, I was even thinking, like, you could probably go back to 2000 and most of the stuff that we have now gone.
That we rely on. Yeah.
Yeah. And Facebook wasn't around in 2000, I don't believe. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it came out to like 2002 or something like that. Maybe.
Can you imagine the psychological hellscape we would be in with people going through withdrawal from social media?
Oh my God.
Like, it was just gone. There would be, you would have like the most suicides ever in a condensed period of time if you suddenly took away people's social media. I think things would level themselves back out and people would go, thank God this is gone. Because people would realize just to the level of which people have become slaves to it.
I used to, you know, I was talking about my grandfather. So he was born in the late 1890s. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, God, when you think about his lifespan, all the things that came out during that time, from Victrolas to radios to TV to, you know, all the different cars and stuff like that, mm-hmm. How mind-blowing that would be. And now I look at my own life and how it's changed from when I was born to now. Yeah. And it's like, actually, my lifespan's probably even crazier than my grandfather's was.
I think it is. I mean, think back to what it was like back in the 70s and 80s, you know? The concepts of what we're getting now, they're not necessarily, you know, the Jetsons with flying cars and shit, but I don't think anybody also, you know, necessarily saw that our own cars are going to be driving for us too on our own roads. And they, you know, several already can and are. And to have something, the AI area of things, I didn't think we'd ever get where we're at right now.
No, we went from cigarette lighters in the cars to full on computer dashboards now, you know? Yeah.
Well, and just in general AI, where you can just literally speak aloud and the knowledge of the world will come to you, or you can tell it to do whatever the hell you want it to do and it will do it pretty well. And it's just getting better by the day. That to me, I mean, that's insane.
You've got a daughter. Is she allowed to use AI to research, let's say, papers and stuff like that? Or does she still have to go to the damn library, get in the card catalog and all that shit?
I don't think she knew what a card catalog is. Okay. If I told her.
Good.
Although she likes antiques, so she would probably know, actually, because it would be one of those moments where we'd be in the antique store and I'd be like, do you know what this is? Yeah, I do. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. You've never seen one in a library. I know what a card catalog is. That's how that conversation.
Do you understand the Dewey Decimal System?
Look, I don't understand the Dewey Decimal
System. Me either.
But yeah, I mean, is she allowed to use it? No, she's working on a paper right now. And I just had this conversation with her the other day. I said, you know, what's the rules? Like, can you use it kind of like an encyclopedia or anything? And no, you have to, I mean, I suppose they could to find sources, but anyway, they make them cite their sources. And it can't just be ChatGPT. But you could use ChatGPT to find the sources and then just eliminate ChatGPT from the whole sourcing.
Right.
And just show, yeah. And why the fuck not? You know, that's what I always hated about so many of those things when we were in school. It's like, we're going to do it this old archaic way. Well, there are more efficient ways of doing this and they will always now exist. But it was like, well, just in case, well, I get it. I get some of the basics down, but why the hell not get into, you know, this is how it's going to be. So let's
exactly.
Yeah, I am definitely going to use a calculator to do division.
I will always use a calculator. I have to use a calculator to do like simple addition and subtraction.
Me too. Me too. Exactly.
Otherwise I'm like, with my fingers counting. There you go. That's how well the educational system worked for us. Yeah, and it's still utterly unremarkable. All right, let's get another phone call. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, guys. My name is Courtney. I haven't really told a lot of people this because those who I have told have shunned me and have actually told me to never talk to them again. So here we go. When I was 6 years old, my family lived in quite an older house. I just remember I could never sleep. And I kept telling my parents, you know, something's not right. I don't feel good. And for a six-year-old, my parents just thought, oh, it's kind of odd, but nothing really of it. Until one night, I told my parents, there's an old lady standing next to my bed. And they came into my room, and I vividly remember her standing to the left of me, looking down at me, smiling. And I wasn't scared. I was more curious. And I told my parents that she died in the house. She died in my bathroom. And we did some digging in the house, and it turns out that an old woman did live there, and she passed away. So we absolutely believe that's who it was. And upon finding this out, my dad decided to reveal that he himself had seen spirits growing up. So something that runs in our family. My grandmother has seen them. My great-grandfather has seen them. So this wasn't anything new, but where it starts to get kind of demonic is what really scared me. I used to be visited by someone called the fireman, and my parents got nervous and they took me to a church where they baptized me and told me I was dreaming, but not to worry anymore. And I was so upset that they didn't believe me, because I was raised, you know, going to church and everything. And after that, I was like, they don't believe me. They think I'm dreaming. And I was actually being visited by the devil. It's just something you can't really describe, because it's just so, it's so terrifying that even to this day, I'm 22 now and I can't really talk about it. And, I told my parents I was visited by him quite frequently, and every time he got close to me, something white, like I couldn't see what it was, but it was this bright ball of white, would get closer to me, and then the fireman would move away. So we called one of our good friends, and he came over, and he said that that was spirit protecting me from a demonic entity, quite possibly the devil. I just remember waking up one night and there just being these white glowing balls just flying around my room. And it was like there was a war going on. And I just remember getting up and running to my parents' room and screaming and crying. So we had the man come to our house and actually was quite nervous, because he was kind of, he was able to sense it, and he knew that it was a dark entity. So he purified the house, gave us holy water, told us to say the spiritual prayer before we went to sleep. Apparently they were in the talks that, you know, I had some bruising on me, and they were worried that it could be like a possession trying to take place. So over the next few weeks, my parents monitored me. We put up cameras in my room, everything. And he never came back after we did the holy ceremony for the house. So I was very lucky for that. Really strange to tell people. And I also had a Victorian couple. They were set back in the 1800s, maybe 1700s. They just looked very, very old, but very proper. And they would follow me around, and I would tell my parents, and my parents would say, well, where are they? And I would tell them, and they would walk to that spot where I said that they were, and the people would walk away, like they didn't want my parents to get near them. And my parents said, well, maybe this is your family. You know, maybe this is your family from your other life, or maybe it's one of our ancestors. But I've had them watching me, I feel, my entire life. Even at 22, I live by myself now, and there are things that just that can't be explained. And since everything has happened, I'm very spiritual. I have a connection with cats now, just because they're spiritual beings. And I have tons of other stories of like pictures flying across the room. But thank you so much for having this podcast. I don't know if you can use the story or not, but if you can, that'd be awesome. So if other people have had these experiences, they're not alone. So thank you. Bye.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think we should shun her and never talk to her again.
Just exactly what we were talking about.
Started the call.
Yep.
that's what everyone said. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to answer with this. So, no. What are your thoughts?
As I was listening to that, I really do hope that as a child, they didn't share all of that information with her. Because if you have a child, even if you do think your child is being visited by the devil, mm-hmm. that all sounds very like something you would watch on a Netflix documentary about a crazy religious cult sort of thing. In fact, I was watching one, Andrea Yates. It was on Discovery ID mm-hmm. and a whole cult thing and how they thought, you know, the devil was going to get him. And so not saying the devil wasn't there. I don't know her, you know. I'm just going off what she said, but that's a lot of information for a kid.
Yeah.
And even now she's only 22. I almost think as a parent, that's something I would never share with them. I just think that's a lot for a kid to deal with. You know, all of it would have been a lot to deal with and, you know, and hard to explain. Mm-hmm. But wow.
I feel, you know, once again, this goes back to telling your story and feeling like you're not crazy and all that kind of stuff. So whether mm-hmm. this was paranormal or not, like to be shunned over this, no, let's do something about it. If you are being visited by an evil spirit or something like that, let's do something. If it's something else, if it's a mental break or something like that, let's fix that too. Like,
yeah,
we all are always wanting to sweep shit under the carpet in this country. And I don't understand why.
But shunned is also a word that you would use in a religious community more than group of high school girls are shunning the one girl. You know, that isn't what we normally say.
I use it all the time, like in public, you know, when I'm going around, like if somebody cuts me off, like, I shun you, you know,
as you hold up the cross. just for effect, I would do
going into like Walmart, you know, and you get a cart that the wheels kind of like, and you're like, damn it. Then you step back and you push the cart across the store screaming, I shun you, cart, as it hits the big thing of Doritos.
Yeah.
Use the word rebuke.
Nobody going to use that cart. Yes. And then that cart will get fixed.
Rebuke
and rebuke and shun together. Like that would be like the, I rebuke and shun you. That would be, I like that.
I the fact that now she's doing pretty good, it's like, why? This is what I don't get in stories like this. I haven't lived this, so I don't have any experience with it. But why would the devil terrorize this poor girl? That makes no sense to me. Was it the house? Was there something deeper going on? Did her parents also have experiences? Like,
how
why?
Deep is your love? How deep is it?
It's Satan. You were just asking, was the devil involved?
Anybody like that song from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack? How deep is your... it's hard. I tried to sing like the Bee Gees, but I naturally have a really deep voice, so it gets hard. How deep is your love? You know, it's like, it's hard for me to hit those octaves. Let me tell you.
Satan, do you wear the tight bell-bottom pants too, and do you have the long flowing hair like the Bee Gees?
Oh God damn! And I have. You should see my fucking chest hair. Oh my God! It's like wow. I mean, Burt Reynolds comes to me for advice. He's down here. You didn't know that, Burt.
You've got a lot of chest hair. It just all happens to be singed.
We got product for that now, though. So don't, you know, it's all good. It's all good in the hood. Oh, hell. Oh, hell yeah.
Satan. Wow. Well, thank you for joining us today and giving us those valuable insights on
to everything. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like access to all of our bonus episodes, all the bonus stuff, ad-free, check us out on Patreon and help support the program. Do that over there or Apple Podcasts. There's a premium channel as well. Until next time, for all of us, for Todd and for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.